Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Going to do the reading first. It says in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now last week, if you were here last week, we studied the prophecies about Christmas from the Old Testament part of the Bible, and we discovered that 1,600 years before Jesus was born, that Jacob made a prediction that there would always be a ruler until the Jewish Messiah came. So he made that prophecy, that prediction, 1,600 years before it happened. Genesis chapter 49 verses 10 says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes." Shiloh was the Messiah. "And to him shall be the obedience of the people." Now we were able to confirm that this prediction came true at exactly the right time in history. And we also learned that Bethlehem was going to be the birthplace of the Jewish Messiah, Jesus. So this was all prophesied in advance. Micah chapter 5 verses 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah," another name for Bethlehem, "though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Now the prophecies told us there was a particular miracle involved in the birth of this Messiah. Isaiah chapter 7 verses 14, at least 400-500 years before, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That means God with us. So it was to be a virgin birth. This was necessary because God is 100% holy, and in order to fulfill his purpose, Jesus had to come into this world through a miracle and not through the seed of a man. And finally, we discovered that Jesus was going to be a wonderful counselor and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." That was last week. Today, we will discover the purpose of Christmas. And in order to do this, we will focus on verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1 that I read just now. And the verse says this, verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, And she will bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, we live in a world today that is very multicultural. We've got people from New Zealand and Philippines. I'm from the UK, from England, America, all over the world. Last year, 10 million people visited Japan from all over the world. So lots of gaijin come to Japan, and they spend money, which is good for the Japanese economy. Now, this will increase next year because of the Rugby World Cup. And then in 2020, with the Olympic Games, it may peak at 15 million foreigners visiting Japan. That's a lot of people. Also, lots of foreign people live in countries that are not their own. British people live and work in Japan. I'm from Britain. I'm living and working in Japan. And Japanese people live and work in Britain, in the UK. There are many Japanese. My son works in an American school in Switzerland. Wonderful place. And the students at his school come from all over the world, and some from Japan. However, in spite of all the different religions and all the different cultures, most countries celebrate Christmas. Now, a great effort is made all over the world with lights everywhere. Lights in Kobe, lights in Osaka, lights in Tokyo. So lights all over the world celebrating Christmas. And then presents. Children receive millions and millions of presents. Millions of children all over the world receive presents. And also food. Yesterday I had my first English Christmas dinner. And tomorrow I have another Christmas dinner. So in England people have lots and lots of food at Christmas. So lights, presents and food. Everyone around the world celebrates Christmas with these things. But some people don't really know why they are celebrating Christmas. They celebrate Christmas, but they don't really know why. However, many of the people who do know the real reason for Christmas, that it is the celebration of the birth of Jesus, are not really celebrating the purpose behind the first coming of Jesus. They're celebrating Christmas, but not the purpose of Christmas, the purpose of the celebration. And these people are following family traditions all over the world of lights, presents, and food. Now, everybody enjoys seeing pretty lights. I love to see pretty lights. In my home in Ikoma, I've got lots of lights all over my house and garden. Everybody likes receiving presents, and everybody likes enjoying food. So they don't want to stop celebrating Christmas because it's a nice time. But you can't really celebrate the true meaning of Christmas until you know the real purpose of the Christmas celebration. You can't do it totally unless you really know. However, it's not just knowing the purpose that matters, but embracing that purpose and putting it into your heart. Unless your heart is touched by the meaning of Christmas, the celebration is just lights, presents, and food. Let us discover what God's Word, the Bible, through the writing of Matthew, has to teach us today about the purpose of Christmas. So the first thing that Matthew teaches us is that God became a baby through a miracle birth. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. The first thing we need to understand here is that Matthew is a Jewish writer, okay? He's a Jewish writer writing an account of the gospel, the birth of Jesus, to Jewish people, okay? And these Jewish people would understand Jewish culture, Jewish traditions, and the books of the Old Testament. Okay, Matthew's writing to Jewish people who understood Jewish culture. And in verse 18, we're told that Mary, the human mother of Jesus, became pregnant during the betrothal period. Okay? Jewish culture, betrothal period. And we need to understand what this means. What is the betrothal period where Mary became pregnant? It's very important. A Jewish marriage has five main steps, and the Bible teaches us that, and many Jewish people follow this tradition today. The first step is the shigunuka, and that is the first step in the process. The father of the groom selects a bride. Sometimes this was done very early on in the process when the prospective bride was a child. So, first of all, choosing a bride. Secondly, the kedupa, the word means written in Hebrew, and this was the marriage contract. And there were three conditions that had to be agreed on the contract. The first was the groom had to promise to support his wife, right? Secondly, the bride had to reveal her financial status. How much money did the bride have? And the bride had to give her consent to the marriage. That was the second step. The third step, which is the moha, is the bridal payment. And this was a gift paid by the groom to the bride's family, and this payment set the bride free from any obligations towards her family. That was the payment that was made. And then the next stage was the irushin, which is the betrothal, and this was more than an engagement, the fourth stage. It started with a ceremony. The couple exchanged items of value, sometimes rings or silver. And this period, this betrothal period, lasted for 1 year. And during this period, the couple did not have any sexual relations, and they usually lived separately, okay? They were actually called husband and wife during this period, but they were not together, which accounts for some of the differences in the translation on the status of Mary and Joseph. Now, during this period, the husband built a house or extended the family home, and in some cases, they had a separate apartment attached to the house. So during the one-year period, the bride was involved in making her wedding dress, lots of new clothes for a future marriage. Now, during this period, the marriage contract could not be broken by the wife, but the husband could divorce his betrothed wife if she was found to be sexually active. The divorce process would be allowed because the betrothed woman would be regarded as married even though she had not had sex with her husband. Okay? So the betrothal period was like being married, but they were not together, but they were counted as husband and wife. And then the fifth thing was the wedding ceremony. This took place 1 year after the betrothal, and then the couple lived together, had sexual relations, and hopefully had children later. So now, with that understanding, we get back to the passage in verse 18. And we're told that Joseph discovered that his betrothed wife Mary was pregnant. Okay, imagine that. This would have happened sometime in the one-year betrothal period. So Joseph naturally thought that Mary had had sexual intercourse with another man. Obviously, everybody would think that. We can't blame Joseph. If this was true, then Joseph would automatically break off the agreement with Mary, divorce her, and the marriage contract would be cancelled. Okay? So if there was any doubt in Joseph's mind about whose baby it was, he would divorce her. Now, while Joseph was considering this divorce, what to do in the situation, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the angel told him that Mary had not been unfaithful to him. Mary had not had sexual relationship with anybody. Now, the angel told Joseph that Mary's conception was a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph knew the Bible, he trusted God, and the angel spoke to him. In other words, Mary was still a virgin, and God had done something amazing to bring about a baby in her without having any sexual relationships with a man. So the miracle was not about the birth of a human baby, The miracle was about the God of the Bible becoming a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. The word used is incarnation, the English word, which means the Spirit of God becoming a human being. That is the greatest miracle of all. God leaving wherever heaven is to come to this world and to enter into the womb of a woman. God became a baby and he grew up in the normal way within a very poor Jewish family. And he experienced everything that a person would have done at that time in history. The only exception is that Jesus did not sin. He did no wrong things because he was 100% holy. He was God in human form. So Jesus can minister to all of our circumstances because he's experienced most of the things that we've gone through in life. And as we know, the people who are the most helpful to us when we have difficult times in life are the people who have experienced the same problems as we have, but they've overcome them. Therefore, Jesus can help us in all of our life situations through the power of his Holy Spirit. So the first thing about Christmas is to understand that it is a celebration of the God of the Bible becoming a human being through the miracle birth in the womb of a virgin called Mary. This was the first purpose of Christmas, God becoming a human person. The creator of this whole world and everything in it, all of nature, he created. He did everything that we see in this world, and then he decided to leave the glory of heaven, come to this earth as a human being. Now we will discover the reason he came. He left the glory of heaven to come here. Verse 21 tells us that God came into this world to be a savior from sins. Now it's good to understand that God became a person in a miracle way, but we need to understand why God came into this world. The name Jesus will help us to understand why. The name Jesus is an anglicized version of the Hebrew word Yeshua. And the word Yeshua means to deliver or to rescue. So Jesus came on a rescue mission. His sole purpose was to rescue mankind from the penalty and the punishment of their sins. Now, on a human level, there are rescue missions going on every week all over the world. Now, perhaps the most recent famous rescue mission that was on TV worldwide concerned 12 boys and their football coach who had to be rescued from an underground cave in Thailand. I don't know if we've got slides of that coming up. Now, all the boys were rescued with their coach, and one of the rescuers died in the process of trying to rescue the boys. It was a difficult rescue, and there were Christians all over the world praying for this rescue, because it was told in all the Christian community that one of the boys was a Christian, and that got on social media. So all the Christians all over the world were praying for this rescue mission. And the boys were rescued, but one person died in order for them to be rescued. Also, just over 2 weeks ago, 320 kilometers from the Japanese mainland, two United States planes crashed while fueling in flight. Japanese aircraft and ships immediately came trying to rescue the crew. Also, the 7th U.S. fleet got involved and other U.S. aircraft. Now, it seemed impossible that anybody could be alive, but we know of at least one person who was rescued alive because people went. So both the boys in the cave and the U.S. airmen knew they were in danger, and they wanted to be rescued. They were desperate. They would die if they weren't rescued. However, in the case of Jesus, his rescue mission was to involve eternal life, not just this life here, but eternal life for those people who wanted to be rescued. And the Bible teaches that God created this world and all of the nature and the animals that live in this world. He also created man for a personal relationship with himself. He also created a woman to help support the man. Sadly, through their disobedience to God's commands, mankind was cursed and separated from God. And the curse involved death. It was not God's plan that death was in the world. We caused that through our disobedience. And eternal death was the penalty and the punishment for disobedience. It says in the book of Romans, in a letter to the church in Roman, Romans chapter 5, verses 12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." The only reason we die and we dare not live forever was because Adam sinned. That is the only reason. But there's good news. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not die, but have everlasting life." So we're told in the text that the rescue mission from Jesus was a rescue from sin, the punishment and penalty of sin. And sin is everything that we think or say or do that goes against God's holy laws. The Bible says that we have all broken at some time God's law. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's what the Bible says. It says in Psalm 14, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is no one who does good." And the reason that we do wrong things in God's eyes is that we're born with a sinful nature. Doing wrong things is automatically part of our sinful nature. It's who we are. Now, my wife and I have had 4 children, and when they were babies growing up, we didn't have to teach them to do wrong things. They did these things automatically. Where did they learn at a very young age as a baby to do wrong things? They didn't learn it. It was already there. It was not from my wife, not from myself. It was from the sinful nature of our children. We only taught them to do the right things. So each one of us are born with an inbuilt radar that tells us what is right and wrong in God's eyes. We call it our conscience. It gives us conviction of moral right and wrong. Now, we don't always listen to our conscience, but we are aware of it. The Bible teaches that in the last days, where we're living now, many people will not listen to their conscience, which is their moral guidance. Now, this is happening today. Jesus came from heaven to rescue us from eternal death and the everlasting punishment that God will inflict upon those people who reject him. God didn't rescue us by arriving in a spaceship and inviting people to come back to heaven. God could have done that. He could have come in the spaceship and said, "Everyone come on and we'll take you to heaven." But that wouldn't solve the problem. God did something better. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment for our sin, so that God's justice and God's judgment for our sin would be satisfied in his eyes. God would never compromise his holiness. Sin must be punished. And our sin must be punished too. God is holy and he is going to punish my sin and he's going to punish your sin. Therefore, we have a choice. We can accept God's gift of forgiveness through Jesus and the promise of eternal life if we believe that Jesus came into this world to rescue us. Or we can reject God's love and his rescuer, Jesus Christ. Now, if we reject Jesus, then one day we will stand before him after our death, and he will reject us, and we will receive the punishment due for our sins. So we have a choice. We can reject Jesus, but one day he is going to reject us. So the best Christmas present I can offer you today is forgiveness of your sins, an eternal life in heaven, and a savior from your eternal punishment. Today, you need to make a choice. You can reject Jesus and his love. You can reject it. It's your choice. Or you can receive the love of Jesus into your heart. So you can't leave here today without making a choice. You can reject Jesus and he will reject you. Or you can receive Jesus and his love in dying on the cross for your sins. The story goes of two demons. Okay, right. It's just gone off. The demons don't want to hear this, right. The story goes of two demons from hell who were thinking up ways of preventing people believing in Jesus and going to heaven. So these demons met together. How can we stop people becoming Christians and going to heaven? So one demon said, let's tell people that there is no place for like called hell, that hell does not exist. We'll tell everybody that there's no place called hell. Now the other demon said, I don't think that will work because there are plenty of evil people in the world and people won't believe that. Then the other demon said, let us tell people that there is no heaven. This is all there is. And the first demon said, that won't work because people want to go to heaven when they die. We can't convince people that there's no heaven because they want to believe that. Then a third demon entered the room and he said, I've been listening to your conversation and I have the best idea of all. Let's tell people they have plenty of time to consider eternal issues about their death. And all the demons agreed that this was the best plan. If you hear the voice of God speaking to your heart today about believing in Jesus and the Christian message, then you must come to Jesus today because there is not plenty of time. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know how long our life will be. Tonight, God could call upon us and we could die. So decide today to believe in Jesus. Because Jesus is God's Christmas present to you for all eternity. So when you leave today, you have two choices. You can put your faith and trust and pray to receive Jesus, or you can reject him. But if he's speaking to your heart today, you may never get another opportunity. Let's pray.